Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Happy Independence Day, ladies and gentlemen. Happy 4th of July. Please be careful today. Please drive safely. Please be careful with the fireworks and Dad, be careful with the grill. Let's try to get through this safely and alive and relatively unhurt. I'm excited about having Bert Folsom back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Bert W. Folsom Jr. is a long-time member of our Brain Trust. He's been the resident historian of the Brain Trust for many years now. I'll have to figure it out here. I can come up with a date. It's probably at least 8 years, maybe even nine. He's the author of Empire Builders, How Michigan Entrepreneurs Helped Make America Great. He's also the author of The Myth of the Robber Barons. He's got another book in the oven what he's working on. And he is a professor of history at Hillsdale College in the great state of Michigan. And he's our good friend. Bert Folsom, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good to be back with you.
It's good to have you back. Happy Independence Day.
Happy July 4th, Independence Day to you.
What do you think? Bert, I said as we went to the break in the last segment, I was talking, as you know, about what gave rise to entrepreneurs having the freedom to be who we are.
Right.
And I talked about the whole concept of freedom. You know, freedom basically was, in a lot of ways, we took whatever definition that the people, the English had about freedom through their various laws that sprung forth from Henry II's time.
Right.
Whatever concept of freedom that they had in those days over there across the water, Americans took that to the next level. We put freedom on steroids, and you and I, Bert, and everybody else in this country, and really in many parts of the planet, we're now the stewards of that.
Right.
How are we doing?
Well, it started well, and it's more of a question mark right now. But we started, as you know, with protecting contracts. Property rights were very sacred and very protected in the Constitution. And Article 1, Section 8 restricted the actions of the central government. And we started also by paying our national debt off. I mean, some people don't know this, but in that first generation, George Washington, in his farewell address, said that he thought we ought to pay our whole national debt off.
Including the states.
Yes, and we did.
Including the debt that was incurred by the states individually to fight the war.
Yes, we paid.
And that was. We have to give credit to Hamilton. That was one of the things Hamilton influenced him about. Alexander Hamilton. Yeah.
Absolutely, and we absorbed the state debt from the war, as you just said. And we had a debt to the French, and we took care of that. And we had, of course, the debt to those people who loaned money to Washington, because he was signing notes for credit all throughout the Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
And we paid that off. We paid the whole thing off by the 1830s, and we were running surpluses.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's why the state
only from tariffs.
Only from tariffs.
Right. I mean, all the income the United States had was only from trade, right?
Yes.
There were no taxes.
There were excise taxes. Was all we had.
Right, but not on individuals.
No. Excise taxes on products. So that we always had vice taxes. You know, whiskey was on there as a vice tax, a 7 cent a gallon tax on whiskey, and a little bit on. We had a luxury tax on carriages, and there was a tobacco tax eventually that got in there. But that's it. And you're right. Trade tariffs was the major source of income, and the tariffs were not very high. So it was an environment in which entrepreneur trade was free, relatively free, and taxes were low, and we began to collect year by year everybody in the world who wanted that kind of freedom and wanted that kind of environment came over here, and we got some of the greatest immigrants in Europe in the 1800s. Culminating in Andrew Carnegie, who then built us the largest steel industry in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, the freedom we had and our willingness to pay off the national debt, which was not easy because most people didn't owe the debt, and so congressmen were reluctant to pay off something that their constituents would have to pay off, but
right.
they didn't necessarily benefit from.
It was an interesting experiment. It was a national, nationalism experiment, wasn't it?
It was.
To get people to feel like they were more Americans than Virginians when or whatever. Bert, hang on. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, it's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. We got more of this kind of music. Some of it's going to be really good. Some of it's going to be, well, okay. Stay with us. It's 20 till. Recognize that song. Welcome back. It's 17 till. Happy Independence Day, America, Americans, wherever you are, wherever you're listening to the show, around the world on the internet or across North America on the radio and the internet. Happy Independence Day. Happy 4th of July. Please be careful. Have fun today and make sure the little ones know why we're celebrating today. And let's all remember ourselves why we're celebrating and remember the people who gave us this great country that we now are the stewards of. And Bert Folsom and I are talking about that. We're talking about how are we doing as stewards of this great country. Bert, when I think about the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, and by the way, folks, all of them didn't sign it on the 4th. It took several days for them all to get together and sign the document. John Hancock, is my understanding, signed it on the 4th. And I think some others may have signed it that day. But there were 56 signers of that. George Washington was not one of them, by the way. He was off, doing his duties as commander. But, Bert, those guys knew when they signed that declaration that they put a bullseye on their back physically, as they put their lives in danger, and they put their everything that they'd ever owned and their families, and if the whole thing went down the drain, their grandchildren's future would be in jeopardy, wouldn't it?
Well, some of them were chased around by the British too, and lost their property, at least temporarily.
Some of them lost their lives.
Benjamin Harrison, governor of Virginia, had to slip out when the British came in, and of course, his son became president of the United States many years later. Officer Nelson, who signed, had his house blown up at the Battle of Yorktown. And he encouraged Washington to do that because Cornwallis was using it. He said, blow him up.
So the Americans blew up his own house.
What was worse, the Americans blew it up. And I'm not sure he was ever adequately reimbursed for that. He died shortly after the war, and I don't think he ever was properly reimbursed. So we had a lot of people who gave a lot to this country and helped set, and a lot of them were immigrants,
Well, think about that, Bert. Think about this concept of what they were fighting for. Think about how young, how short the roots of this great oak that's been built over the last 200 years. Just think about what a seedling that idea of freedom, that idea of living without kings, what Ayn Rand said. Let me find her words here. She says that the most profoundly revolutionary achievement of the United States was the subordination of society to moral law, and when we think about what a seedling that whole concept was in those days, for those guys, for those men and women to put themselves and their lives in jeopardy, and their property in jeopardy for that kind of a little seedling of an idea is amazing,
right?
Isn't it?
Well, it is. It is. But we have been, even in 1776 on, a magnet for people with creative minds who believed that this country would be the place where they could flourish. Those ideas could be properly developed. Probably the wealthiest man in the United States in the Revolutionary War was Robert Morris, who Washington wanted to be a Secretary of Treasury, but he didn't want to do it. He wanted to go out and make some more money, so Hamilton came in and did so. But Robert Morris loaned us the most money that helped us during the war, an immigrant from England, no less. Those immigrants gave us key loans in the War of 1812. John Jacob Astor, who became the wealthiest man in the United States, was a German immigrant, and he loaned us critical amounts of money to help us through the War of 1812. So they came over here, they recognized the opportunity, and then in time of crisis, they were there to help this country through.
Do we have that kind of spirit today? Do you think, do Americans, do we have that left? Is there anything like that left in us today, Bert?
I'm not sure. I thought there was after 9/11 when I saw us come together as a nation, and it still could under some kind of a Pearl Harbor type attack or 9/11 attack. Maybe it would. But you see some signs that it may be a little bit different today, and but I'm not sure, Jim. I'm not sure because we still have a lot of love for this country, a lot of people who come over here who recognize it's something different. There are a lot more who want to get in than want to get out. That's always a sign that there's
something. that's exactly right. And you know, maybe there's an irony here, Bert. The irony is that we've done such a good job of protecting us, of ourselves.
Yes.
The administration, the government, our men and women in military, the men and women in our law enforcement, all the people who run towards danger when you and I are running away, Bert, have done a good job of protecting us. But maybe one of the things I think maybe President Bush has failed in, he's failed to make any of us get invested. He's failed to give us a way for us to be invested in what I do consider us to be in a war, not just a war on terror, but a war against our values.
Yes.
And against our future. And I don't think most Americans really have that feeling. I don't think we feel that we're invested in that. And I wish he had found a way to make us so. What do you think?
Yes, I think so. And it's very subtle, and it's very slow, and it's corrosive, too. Bush is not an overly articulate person. His idea of leadership is leading by example and rather than leading by great speeches. And unfortunately, the war has not gone well, so that the example is under fire.
The Iraqi war, right. Stand by, Bert. We're going to take a quick break, folks, and come right back with the resident historian of the Brain Trust, Bert Folsom, Dr. Bert Folsom. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You have to give this music a little time sometimes, ladies and gentlemen. There he goes. This patriotic music takes a little time sometimes. I don't even know what this is, but happy Independence Day, ladies and gentlemen. Roger is doing a good job spinning the wax there for us, and we appreciate it. Happy Independence Day, America, Americans, wherever you are. Bert Folsom is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm your host. My website, by the way, is smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you in. Bert Folsom's books are The Myth of the Robber Barons and Empire Builders, two different books. They have sold something under a billion copies each all over the galaxy. And, Bert, tell us where they're available, please.
That's right. Well, they're available online. They're available in still many bookstores. And I'm working on a third book here on the New Deal, The Myth of Franklin Roosevelt and the New Deal.
I can't wait, and I expect you to launch that on this show, by the way.
Hey, I will. I will.
Speaking of that, of the New Deal and everything, you know, Bert, you and I were talking about this off the air. You and I both agree that when we talk about how are we doing as stewards of this freedom?
Right.
To me, freedom is, you know, it's just an ideal. You've never seen freedom. No one's ever held freedom. No one's ever put it in a box. Nobody's ever bottled it or anything. Freedom is how we feel about ourselves.
Right.
Now, of course, there are legal and legal constructs that help us have those freedoms, like the Constitution. But the mostly freedom is in our heads, it's in our minds, and the more we subordinate our responsibilities, the more we put the responsibility for who we are and how we live, the more we let other people have that, the less freedom we have. And I think in the 20th century, there are some things that happened that caused that freedom to erode a little bit. And you and I have talked about this, and I think you're going to be talking about that in your book, aren't you?
Oh, I am. I am. And, right, we developed program after program during the Great Depression, which had the long-run effect of eroding our freedom. And it started out by giving someone something in a way for nothing. And it's easy to say, well, I'd rather grab onto that than because these are hard times.
Well, and those were desperate times. They weren't just hard times; they were desperate times.
Right, and that's when we started, for example, paying farmers not to produce. It's when we began the origins of the modern welfare state, where before we said, Grover Cleveland and other presidents said, we need to take care of our own. We need to have the churches do it. If it's a larger project, we need to have the Red Cross and other national charities get involved. And when people had needs, local people and sometimes national charities became involved. And the sad thing was, in the Great Depression, we began a situation of federal distribution of funds. And, of course, once that starts, there's no limit to it.
Redistribution of wealth, exactly. And also, I think the advent of unionism in the United States contributed to a lot of that, too, where people were ultimately given the opportunity, were ultimately allowed to, you know, maybe be paid more than they were contributing. I think that's one of the reasons why unions have basically fallen to the levels that they have now. Because I think Bert, that's one of the things that I'm a little hopeful about. If we could end on a hopeful note. The 21st century, as I've been saying for a decade, is the century of the entrepreneur. I see it every day more and more. I believe it more and more. And my point is, the more a nation is entrepreneurial, the more we quit looking to other people for our solutions, and we start finding our own solutions. The more we can get our healthcare programs to market solutions for healthcare, more portable, more individual, those kinds of things. Retirement, the same thing. The more we can get those kinds of things where they can help people become more entrepreneurial. That's the reason why I actually am hopeful about the future. Bert, what do you think?
Well, I think so. You know, when we were growing up, Jim, you did not hear much when we were in high school and going into college about, I'm going to go out and be an entrepreneur.
Nope.
I just don't remember that many people.
That's exactly right.
I'll go in and fit in the corporate structure.
Yep.
But I'm not going to go out and be creative, and I'll let somebody take care of me. I'll work for them for a long time.
That's right.
I will have benefits, and I will be protected. The idea now, you see much more, starting in the 80s, but as you say, the 80s wasn't always the greatest decade for entrepreneurship. But starting in the 80s, you begin to see more and more of turning the entrepreneurs loose, lower the tax rates, which President Reagan did.
That's
and
a
make
big
it
deal.
More, yeah.
Bert, I've got to wrap it up, unfortunately. I want you to come back. I've got some more things I want to talk to you about. Let's get you back again real soon.
Let's do it.
Thank you, Bert. Happy Independence Day.
Thanks, Jim. Happy Independence Day to you.
Bert Folsom, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I will be too, but it'll be in another hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day, Americans.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.